How closely do you look at the coins that are in your pocket or in your purse? Are you kind of a coin collector? Have you got any coin collectors? Used to be. Yeah, you still got them. Yeah. Right. There's a special word for coin collectors, isn't there?
Numismatists.
Nerds. Sorry. No, I shouldn't have said that at all. They're actually quite interesting. I've sort of recently been looking more closely at some of the coins in my pocket, particularly as I've found out that some 50p coins are not worth 50p. They're worth a lot more. And you can go on eBay and sell your 50p coins. Peter Rabbit! The most expensive one, apparently, is Kew Gardens. If you've got one with a Kew Gardens pagoda on it, it's worth nearly £1,000. Vestry stewards, when you collect the how much is a Peter Rabbit one?
A few pounds.
Fifty p. So there. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. And there's all sorts. There were special ones for the Commonwealth Games. So there were all sorts of different ones: swimming and rowing and so on. So if you've got some of those, they're quite valuable. So there's Paddington Bear ones as well. Has anybody had a Paddington Bear one? I want a Paddington Bear one. Yeah, I was going to say, I'll swap you a Peter Rabbit for a Paddington Bear. And of course, it's not just 50p's. Some 20p's have got spelling mistakes on them, apparently. They're quite... But I find that at home we sort of collect all of our loose change. We've got upstairs, there's a herdy... Well, it's not a pig, is it? Sheep. Sheep. Money box, coin bank, yeah. We keep all our 50p's, and I'm going to have to raid it now and have a look. And pound coins in there. And then downstairs we've got sort of all the shrapnel. Do you call it shrapnel? Sort of 1p's, 2p's, 5p's, 10p's, 20p's. And every now and again, sort of around Christmas time, we'll take it to... Sainsbury's, and they've got a machine, haven't they, that you put it all in and they spit back out you all the francs and euros and all of those bits and pieces that, you know. So in your pocket and in your purse there are all sorts of different shapes and sizes of coins. Again, there's a special word for that. We call them different denominations. Interesting, that word, isn't it? Denominations. Because then you think about churches and people say there are different denominations. But the money in your pocket, it's still money. Some might be bigger than others. You might be able to do more with than others. But it's still all money at the end of the day. So why, when it comes to churches, do we think that somehow they're all different? Well, they are different in the same way as the coins are different. But it's still all money, and they're still all churches. Some of them are bigger than others. Some of them are smaller than others. Some can do more than others can simply because of their size. But they're still all churches, and they're still all worshipping the one God. So this week is the week of prayer for Christian unity. Did you know that? No, it is. It's actually more than a week. It's 8 days. So it's an octave. An octave. There's services or prayer meetings every lunchtime throughout the week, and there's a poster in the reception on the window there that will tell you. It's here on Thursday. If you're doing nothing else on Thursday at lunchtime, come and share in the week of prayer for Christian unity. And I will tell you a little bit more about some of the things that will be happening this year in terms of unity here in Penrith. But it's time for you all to go. Have a great time. They're itching to go already. Raring to go. Make sure you keep looking at your 50p's. Benjamin Bunny, there he is. That's worth £2,000. Oh, it's a coloured one. That one's got blue coat on. This one hasn't got a blue coat on. I thought I'd got £2,000 there. So thinking about unity, here's a reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 4.
Yes, two short sections from Ephesians chapter 4, first of all verses 1 to 6 and then 11 to 16, and you'll find it on page 1175 in the Church Bible. The heading is Unity in the Body of Christ. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then picking up again at verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen.
This morning I want us to focus upon Christian unity. Well, more than just Christian unity. The unity across our world today. I mean, if I took a straw poll at this point, if I kind of asked you, you know, for your opinion, I wonder, would you say that we live in one world today? Or is our world divided? Is our world divided between the haves and the have-nots, the rich and the poor? Those that have a head start. You know, we live in a fragmented society, although it's much easier now to get from, you know, the world shrinking in some ways, and you can get to the other side of the world in less than a day now, and we get news and Google and the internet and everything. It seems a much smaller world in some ways, and yet a more divided world. Do we live in one world or a divided world? And I wonder if I asked you again about our nation today. Do we live in one nation or a divided nation? 52% to 48%. And how deep do the divisions in our nation go? And across the church, the wider church, across our nation today, I wonder if we would say that we live in a united church, one church, or whether we look at the different denominations that exist and say we're a very fragmented and divided church. If I stood at the top of the steps just out there, I could look very quickly and see St. Catherine's Catholic Church. I could certainly see Christ Church, Church of England. I could probably look out the back window of the bridge and see the United Reformed Church. It wouldn't take too long before I walked up the road and I could see the Salvation Army, I could see the Society of Friends, the Quakers. I could walk into Sandgate and probably from there I could see the warehouse, which is where the Influence Church meets on a Sunday afternoon. I could see St. Andrew's and the parish church. How many churches does one town need? Are we a divided church? And I wonder again if I stopped and took a straw poll and asked you as a congregation about this church, PMC. Are we a divided church or not? Maybe you would point me and to the very fact that in this place already there was a 9 o'clock service and now there's a 10:45 service and there'll be another service, a prayer meeting this evening, and then there'll be another service on a Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock. So are we a divided church? Is there division amongst us? If Paul had been writing to us rather than to the church at Ephesus, would he have been able to say, do your best to maintain the unity which you have? Paul isn't asking the church at Ephesus to regain a lost unity. He's not saying, come on, work together and get back the unity that you first had, because now you're all divided and squabbling and so on. That's the church at Corinth. You know, he says, you know, I'm hearing bad things about, you know, some people are saying, I'm for Paul, I'm for Apollos, I'm for Peter, I'm for Christ. You know, come on. Would he have to say the same to us? I wonder to what extent we are a divided church. Paul says, do your best to maintain the unity that you have. How do you maintain unity? What are the clues? What's the route? What's the method to maintaining unity? If you look this saying up on Google, it's often attributed to John Wesley. I'm not sure it was, actually. John Wesley was a very learned man, and I think he probably got it from some Greek philosophy and so on that he'd read. But this is what he said. In essentials, in the essential things, unity. In the non-essentials, freedom. But in all things, love. Do you like that? In the essentials, unity. In the things that are essential, let's stay together, let's cling together, let's hold on together and agree on the things that are essential. In the non-essentials, feel free to do what you want for you want. Doesn't matter. Things like where we put the wires down here. Hey, you're going to lose sleep over that. That's not essential. In the essential things, unity. In the non-essentials, feel free. But in all things, love. So the first thing, the first clue, the first thing on the menu is, let's focus on the essentials. Let's keep our eye on the things that are essential. I would challenge anybody who said that we are a divided church because I think that they're focusing on the non-essentials rather than the essentials. A couple of stories, I suppose. The first one was that I was down here on Monday night, and as I came in on Monday night, the choral group were just leaving. And as the choral group were leaving, the worship group were just arriving. Now, I have to say that there was no punch-up fight as the two groups crossed paths in the reception area. In fact, as they crossed paths, two of them spoke to one another. And one said, "Here we are coming out from choral group, and here you are coming in. Isn't it great that we worship the same Lord? The essential thing is not how you worship, whether you use drums and guitars and keyboards, or you use the organ. That isn't the essential thing. The essential thing is that we worship. And it's the same Lord that we worship. Are we a divided church because we've got a 9 o'clock and a 10:45? No, I think it's just a sign that we are a big enough church to offer a variety of different worship styles. And praise God for that. Another story. If you came down here, not on a Monday night, but on a Friday lunchtime, and were walking around our buildings, what would you find? You'd find across the road in the bridge that there would be some young mums and carers, might be some grandmas and granddads and dads, I don't know. And they'd be there scrambling around on the floor with glue and glitter and singing songs about wiggly worms and things like that. And you came across the road here and you'd find some maybe older, more mature people here eating their lunch, probably not scrabbling around on the floor with glue and glitter. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're a divided church because there's toddler group going across over there and tiddlywinks happening over there and there's a lunch club happening over here at the same time? Is that a symptom of the fact that we're a divided church? Of course not. It's the same society and the same Lord and the same community that we're serving. It just happens in different ways. It's the same service that's going on. Just different styles of service. And just different ways of serving. So let's not jump to the conclusion that we're a divided church. We're a big church. And because we're a big church, we're able to do more than one thing at the same time. Now that's a trick that I've not learnt how to do. Multitasking. But as a big church, we can do that. And praise God for that ability. We can have a 9 o'clock service, and we can have a 10:45 service. And sometimes we might all come together in one service at 10 o'clock. Maybe. And maybe what we need to focus on is not the activities themselves, but the values that lie behind those activities, or maybe the why we're doing them. So let's focus not on the verbs, the doing stuff, but the adjectives and the adverbs behind it. That we're doing it because we love, we want to serve, we our values are to love our community, to serve our community, to reach out with love into the community around us. And we're going to find a variety of different ways of doing that. We want to worship the same God, but we're going to find varieties of ways of doing that. Because here's the truth, that when God made this world and made our creation, he made it with diversity. He didn't make just one sort of things. For example, roses. God didn't just make one sort of rose. There are all sorts of different types of rose. That big double yellow one there, and so on. When God made dogs, he didn't make just dog. He made Afghans and Pekingese and Chihuahuas and Heinz 57s and... Beatles. Not the Beatles. There's four of them, I know, but you know. But Beatles. How many beetles are there on this planet? How many different types of beetles? There are millions, aren't there? I'm not a numismatist and I'm not an entomologist either. So I don't collect beetles, but I know some people do. You know, you can go to museums where there's... And there's this variety, isn't there? And when God made human beings, he didn't make just, that's it, I've made human beings and they're all going to be exactly the same. What a boring world, eh? If we were all exactly the same shape, size, and we all had the same likes and dislikes, and we all... Sometimes, I'll whisper this, Charles Wesley gets up my nose. Don't tell other people I said that. I'll be drummed out of the Methodist Church now. There's a hymn that he wrote. He wrote lots, actually. He wrote about 6,000. Goodness me. But there's a hymn that he wrote that I take exception to. And it goes like this. Even now we think and speak the same and cordially agree, consented all in Jesus' love in perfect harmony. It's not just the word consented that I object to in that verse. I think to myself, is this true? Is this really the case? E'en now we think and speak the same and cordially agree. Charles, what are you thinking? That's not the church that I have ever been in or know. Is it yours? Do you know this church? Do you recognize this church? Is it just wishful thinking? Or is he simply saying, you know, and then he goes on and says, if our fellowship below be so sweet, what heights of rapture shall we meet when we worship above? I prefer, I think, the ditty that goes more like this. To worship with the saints above, man, that will be glory. To worship with the saints below, well, that's a different story. And yet I accept that. You see, unlike Charles Wesley, I accept the fact that we are not going to all think the same. Hallelujah for that, I say. You're going to have different opinions from me. You're going to not see eye to eye with me. But it makes the world a spicier place to be in, doesn't it? A richer place to be in. I'm not going to say the same things or express myself in the same way that you do. And we're not always going to cordially agree. There will have to be times when we agree, disagree. And learning to disagree agreeably is one of the most difficult, but one of the most essential lessons that you can learn. How to disagree disagreeably. And within a church of this size, we are never going to all think and speak the same, and cordially agree. Does that mean we're a divided church? No. It means that we have unity within our diversity. There is diversity amongst us, and praise God for that diversity. I've known some twins in my time. There were some twins in my class as going through school as we were growing up. They had the most blazing rows going. They looked the same. But boy, could they fall out with one another. And sometimes we're going to have to agree to disagree. We're not always going to say the same. But in the things that are essential, there's only one Lord. And if you can say that God, Jesus is your Lord, then you're brother or sister to me. Again, going back to John Wesley, he preached a sermon called The Catholic Spirit, in which he took a verse from the Old Testament, obscure verse, that says, if your heart is right with my heart, give me your hand. Is your heart right with my heart? If you can say that Jesus is Lord, that's enough. Unity in the essentials. In the inessentials, in the non-essentials, then let's feel free to do our own thing. but in all things, then let's have love. You'll be pleased to know that the other two points of this sermon do not go on as long as that first point went on, okay? Here's the second thing that we need to learn, is that within the different groups that there are, and there will be different groupings, okay? And different activities going on. So there's the Tiddlywinks, and there's the lunch club, and there's the women's fellowship, and there's the 3Ms, and there's all these different groups that are happening within the life of the church. But within the life of the church, we need to keep the channels of communication open. Now that's true not only of our church, but I think also, if I can be slightly political at this point, within our nation, or within the government. The politicians need to start listening to one another, don't they? And if the door is open there for people to go and talk to one another, that's got to be the way forward. Keep talking. Keep talking to one another. Keep the lines of communication open. We are united in our differences. Paul talks, he keeps repeating himself, didn't he, Paul? People criticise my sermons because I keep repeating myself. Do you know why I keep repeating myself? Because you didn't listen the first time, you know. I want to make sure that the message has got through. Paul keeps repeating himself. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I'll say it, rejoice. It's not burdensome or irksome for me to keep repeating myself, he goes on. How many times does he talk about the church being like a body? At least three times that I know. It's in there in Romans, it's in there in 1 Corinthians, it's here in Ephesians. And he says, you know, each part of the body, each individual member of the body has their own part and their own role to play. You're not all noses. I know there's all sorts of jokes to go down now at this point, but I'll forbear from doing that. It's like a football team. A football team is not going to win very many matches if all the players decide that they're going to be the goalkeeper today. Each person within the team has got to play their own part and have their own position to play within the team. But you know, for the team to work properly, they've all got to be connected up to the head, the brain, says Paul, which gives them their direction. So there's got to be communication. As soon as there stops being communication on the playing field and they start playing as individuals, the team's lost. There needs to be that communication. Do you see what I'm saying? And so within the church, we need to keep communicating and keep talking to one another. Keep sharing the good news stories. What's happening in your group? What's happened in your particular area? What's happening over there? Because if there's not communication, if we're not sharing those stories with one another, then we simply become isolated and separated from one another, instead of all pulling together and seeing one another as complementary and complementary to one another. And so keep telling the good stories. Keep sharing the news with one another about what's happening in your particular area and sharing that with others. And then one last rule, and it's this. Paul says elsewhere, to all these things, put on love, which binds all things together in unity. Paul here at the end of this passage in Ephesians chapter 4 talks about how, although you're all different, although you all have different places, different roles and functions within the life of the church and within the body, you need to be bound together with love. He says about talking to one another. He says, speak the truth in love. Often that's code within the life of the church. Have you known people who say, I want to speak the truth to you in love? What they mean is, I'm now going to tear you off a strip. And it's the least loving thing that you've heard, actually. And what we need to do is to make sure that we are bound together with cords of love. When I came down to the music group on Monday and we were thinking about songs that we would sing, we thought we were going to have a 70s revival. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. There is only one. We could do it now, and we could all swing and sway together and hold hands together. But it's that love that binds us all together. Love, you see, wants what's best for the other person. When you love somebody, you want what's best for them, not for yourself. And so that's why he starts this by saying, have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Don't think of yourself too highly or more important than you are. Put the other person first. And so if within the church there are other people who are doing different things from you, celebrate that. Don't try and say, you're not doing what I'm doing, and what I'm doing is more important than what you're doing, so you should put down what you're doing and come and do what I'm doing too. No. Hey, you lot are at 10:45, you all ought to stop worshipping as you're doing and come and worship with us. And then we could all be united. No. Or the other way around, of course. No, we need to love one another and accept one another in all of our diversity and in all of our differences. Let love flow through our church. Let love be one of those values that binds us all together as a church. So whatever you are involved in this coming week, whatever you're involved in, know that you are serving the Lord in your way. Remember when we first arrived in Bury, in the church in Bury, there was a minister's meeting. And the Roman Catholic guy, I think he was joking when he said this to me. He says, I want you to be supported and encouraged, you know, and I want you to hear me say this, but David, I want you to keep worshipping in your way. And we'll keep worshipping God in his way. I think he meant it as a joke. See, the time has come where we can no longer be you in your small corner and I in mine. This year is going to be an exciting year ecumenically in Penrith. I've got on my diary a particular Sunday already highlighted, and it's Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is always a great day, isn't it? But here in Penrith, we will launch, at last, our mission community. Now, for you, those of you that are living out at Langwathby, you think, we've had mission communities down here for, And there, already, they've got the churches working together. Admittedly, they've only got Anglican and Methodist, whereas in here in the town, we've got Anglican, Methodist, Salvation Army and URC, the four of those that are coming together to work together as a mission community team. And to that, on Friday, I was part of a group that were interviewing for a mission community leader in Penrith. And I'm not allowed to tell you who we've appointed, but I'm smiling. I'm allowed to do that, apparently. So this year will be an important year, ecumenically, historically, for this town in Penrith, as the churches come together and work together closer and closer. Is the church divided? No. There are some things that we will do in different ways. Praise God for that. Praise God that we are all different and all have our different ways of doing things and different likes and different dislikes. Hallelujah. But in this central thing, that we want to serve our community, we all want to do that. We all want to say that we're introducing people to Jesus. Of course we do. In these things, then we are a united church and we are all one body. In the communion service, as we take the bread, we say, we break this bread as a sign of our unity. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one loaf. And so we are one body, all one body we, as we move out into our community with Christ's love.